Well, as you've noted and has been expressed this morning, we're going to end the sermon series that we've enjoyed for the summer, The Prayers of the People, Life in the Psalms. When we started this on June 5th, it would have been way beyond my wildest imagination that I would have been standing here preaching the final sermon for that series. But as I look back on the series for the summer, it has been an amazing, amazing series. Just to think that we have dealt with texts written millennia ago, and we've applied them to the 21st century. And it's just been an amazing time. So I'm honored that Jeff asked me to take this date and to preach. I'm out of my element, but here we go. I've chosen today to revisit Psalm 139. I know that we did it earlier in the summer. How well we remember Nedra and Janet sharing the reading of the scripture. It was so beautifully done that day. And then Jeff preached his sermon titled Honest to God. And we did a survey of the congregation. What's your favorite psalm? And Psalm 139 came out on top. But really, based on some experiences that I've had this summer, while this sermon series has been going on, that have led me, when asked if I would take this date, it led me to go back to Psalm 139 and to talk today about the text, or the title that I've chosen is Crossing the Threshold of Fear. I'm going to talk about one of those experiences in our sermon this morning. But first, let's start with the reading of our scripture in Psalm 139. And if everything works right, what should be on the screen is from The Message. I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and dark, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Well, one of the highlights that I referenced of my summer has been as a staff member of Christ in the Rockies, held a couple of times each summer in Estes Park. Since its founding 10 years ago, I have been engaged every year at some level with this father-son rite of passage ministry that is headquartered here in Fort Collins. The ministry serves families across the nation. Hundreds of father-son pairs have come to the Colorado Rockies to experience genuine mountain biking, technical rock climbing, and a time where each team, composed of a dad and his son, builds a potato cannon, that's right, a potato cannon, and makes other preparations for a day of competition with the other teams. The competition with the potato cannons is called, and listen to this, is called Weapons of Mash Destruction. There are a lot of mashed potatoes in that mountain meadow when we finish the day. The elk and the deer have a feast. At Christ in the Rockies, there are also 4 days of serious study. Sometimes together as a group, and at other times alone in their rooms or on a mountainside, the dads and sons discuss what it means to take the often fearful step of moving from boyhood into authentic manhood as a follower of Christ. Over the week, dads and sons take a deep dive into the transformational experience of Jesus as they address 4 fearful, brutal realities of life. The first reality is life is hard. The teaching and discussion for this reality is, do we mask the pain and go on living with fear and anxiety? Or do we truly live into Jesus' unwavering promise that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly? The second reality is, you're going to die. For this reality, the teaching and discussion centers on this question. Out of fear, do we avoid the reality of death as long as possible? Or do we engage the reality by surrendering our will and follow Jesus, who said, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it? The third day, the teaching and discussion is, your world does not revolve around you. Do we build our identity around what we know, what we can do, and what we possess? Or do we realize it's God's world and we are his workmanship? We are his beautiful work of art. And use what we know, what we can do, and what we possess for others and for God's purposes. The final reality is that is discussed is, you're not in control. When we realize this, do we clamp down and become more fearful and controlling? Or do we live our lives for the sake of Christ with the reality that when I am weak, then I'm strong? I believe my involvement in this summer experience has brought to my mind a truth that faces each of us. It is the question of the morning. Why do we too often stay in our boxes of what we perceive as safe living and resist responding to the pull of God on our lives by surrendering and trusting him? Stated another way, why do we continue to carry anxiety and resist crossing the threshold away from the fear in our lives? I believe we can find our answer from the life experience of David, who authored Psalm 139. When most of the Israelites were shaking in their boots as they faced the Philistines, David had a different way of thinking. As Goliath, the 9-foot giant, stepped out and sneered and mocked the Israelites, the common wisdom on the ground was that the giant was significant and David was insignificant, as he was the smallest of all and the nobody compared to his brothers. He was the runt. David saw the situation differently. He saw God as a significant one and the giant as insignificant. He had a God-dominated way of thinking. It is apparent from David's writing in the Psalms that he had a vivid imagination. The Psalms that we have explored this summer are full of images that are used to communicate God's presence in the real-life situations we experience today, even though they were written approximately 3,000 years ago. Let's open our own imaginations for just a minute. Perhaps it was alone as a shepherd among predators, or maybe while he was hiding from King Saul in a cave, that vivid images of safety and security in God were formed that gave rise to what we know today as Psalm 23. For a moment, just use your imagination and think about the threatening, perhaps fear-giving situations that David may have been in, and the God-dominated way of thinking in the images that took shape in his mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Eugene Peterson, the translator of the Message from which today's reading comes, writes that this in some of his contemplative writings and sermon notes. Where did David gain such a divinely oriented imagination? In Bethlehem, tending his father's sheep. It was there that he was immersed in the greatness of God and the immediacy of his help. For it was there that he had experienced God's strength in protecting his sheep against lions and bears. He had practiced the presence of God so thoroughly that God's word, which he couldn't literally hear, was far more real to him than the lion's roar, which he could hear. He had worshiped the majesty of God so continuously that God's love, which he couldn't see, was far more real to him than the bear's ferocity, which he could see. His praying and singing, his meditation and adoration had shaped that imagination in him. As David succeeded Saul, he faced many trials as he transitioned into his kingship. David's life was full of challenges, times of joy, in times of depravity. At times, many of us could ask, where is the man after God's own heart when considering all of his missteps? It is seen in the fact that David always made his way back to God. He had a God-dominated imagination and way of thinking that became stronger over his lifetime and kept drawing him over the thresholds away from his fear as he experienced life. David praying alone in the fields and his singing and worship as he cared for the flock had shaped an image of God that is passed to us throughout the Psalms. Eugene Peterson addresses this in his writing on Psalm 139. The man in this psalm, David, has experienced the scrutiny of God. God knows everything about him, down to the most trivial of details. He knows when the man sits down to dinner and when he gets up to go to work. Even when he isn't thinking about God, God is thinking about him and knows what he is thinking about. Before the man comes out with an original statement on a new subject, God has anticipated and knows it. When he walks forward, he discovers that God is there ahead of him. When he goes backward, God is there too. God has not only an infinite knowledge of him, but an intimate knowledge of him. David had experienced this understanding of a God that turned into his immense love of him. In Psalm 139, we see the vivid images that formed within David that can give us courage and hope for our lives. We see an image of how deeply David loved God, and God loved David. We see an image of the value of being humble and vulnerable with God. Twice David implores God to investigate my life. We see an image of God being ever-present and immediately available. We see an image of God knowing all about us. Because he is all-knowing, he is able to guide us according to his will. We see an image of God's assurance that each of us is uniquely made in his image and has designed us with a unique plan and purpose. And we see an image of God being all-powerful and able to overcome all wickedness and evil or any threatening situation that we are in. As we think about our days in 2016 and into the future, we face a multitude of uncertainties such as, how is the election going to turn out? And what does that mean for our country and me personally? Will our national economy take another downturn? What will be the outcome in the health issue that I'm dealing with? Will my job be secure? Are there some issues in our families that could bring some instability? As the young men attending Christ in the Rockies face difficult realities of life, as we consider the uncertainties of our lives, it is important, I believe, that we understand this. Our walk with Jesus is not about our pursuit of God, making us vulnerable to fear and anxiety. Our walk with Jesus is about God's aggressive pursuit of us. In his unconditional love, he pursues us with his infinite knowledge. He has given us a life in which there is no place we can go, nor any situation that we can be in where God is absent. If we leave today and find ourselves preferring to stay in our comfort zones, rather than responding to God's call to step over our thresholds of fear, I would encourage each of us to reflect on these questions. Are we growing daily in our understanding of God and his incredible love for us? In our daily disciplines, are we practicing the presence of God? Are we keeping track of the God sightings that we have experienced each day? Are we continuing to develop a God-dominated imagination and way of thinking? Are we vividly seeing his greatness in our lives and experiencing the immediacy of his help? And like David, are we regularly entering into vibrant worship of his majesty? As followers of Christ, find this assurance in Psalm 139. Whatever situation we're in that gives us anxiety and fear, God is still there. knowing us infinitely, loving us unconditionally, caring for us intimately, and working His will that all things will work together for our good. Friends, beyond all measure, God is worthy of our trust. In Christ, we have nothing to fear. Our security is sealed forever. To God alone, the glory.